Open with me in the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Earlier in the week in my quiet time, I'm glad it wasn't Friday, God changed things up on me. I was in 2 Corinthians, I was in chapter 12, and I came to verse 7, and I started reading through verse 10. And I'd read these passages about the thorn in the flesh, these verses about that before, but it really impacted me. It encouraged me for the season that we're in. And God impressed upon me, maybe there's more people that need to hear this other than you. He impressed upon me to share this with you gathered here today. So we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Listen, I want this pandemic to end just as bad as you do. And guess what? I pray for it. I want the division in our nation to turn into unity, and I pray for it. But after reading this passage this week, I thought, what if it doesn't end? What if 2021 comes and the pandemic's still here? Have you thought of that? What if the debates finish, the election's over, but there's still a spirit of division in our nation? I don't want it, but I'm just saying, what happens if there is? And then I made it more personal. Listen, I want people to be kind again, to love each other again, to be patient with each other again, to be rational again. I want people to stop hurting each other, stop being so mean. All of that, I want that. Even in my own life, and as I see people interacting together, but it's the same question. What if they don't change? What if the situations stay the same? The question is, what then? What are we gonna do? Are we just gonna give up? No. Unequivocally, no, after reading this text. Are we gonna stop being obedient to the mission of the Great Commission? Listen, the mission doesn't stop just because circumstances get hard. People still desperately need the gospel. People desperately need to be equipped with the Word of God. People desperately need to be discipled. I pray that God would teach us through this passage that He can turn difficult situations into blessings, that He can flip the script. He can turn the weakness that we feel like that we're in right now into a strength. He's done it numerous times before throughout biblical history, throughout church history, and I pray that He does it again in this season. We need this passage. We need not only to say, I'm gonna survive this season, that I'm gonna endure the weakness or the thorn in my flesh in this season, but get to the place where we could even say, thank you for the thorn. To praise God for our struggles because it brings us closer to Him. Now, if that's just outside of your realm of grasping, that's okay, it was for me too. Let's just read the text and see what God does for us. By the way, it's the Bible that helped me this week. And by going to God and praying to Him by His Spirit that helped me this week. It wasn't just an encouraging message, a funny, kind, lighthearted encouragement that I got from any story that you can read in any book. The Bible does something for you that nothing else can. Which is just another reason, like I needed another one, to lead with, we are a biblically rooted church. It's what's gonna get us through this season. Because you're not capable of handling it on your own. I'm not trying to be mean to you, I'm just trying to be honest with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness, I love how Paul speaks, the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. He calls it a messenger of Satan to torment me. Why? To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord, I begged the Lord three times that it might leave me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul's response, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And from what I see from Paul's life, dwell in him and flow from him. Verse 10, therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions. Can I add with pandemics? Can I add with divisions? Let's just call that difficulties. For Christ's sake, For when I am weak, I am strong. The outline for today's message will be just a series of questions, five questions this morning. We're going to bookend with what questions, and the three questions in the middle are going to be why questions. So it's a what, why, what kind of situation this morning. The first question is, what was the thorn? The second question is a why question. Why did God allow the thorn? Does that not mess with you as you're reading this text? Why even allow it? And then what about the second why question? Why did God not pluck the thorn? Why did God not remove the thorn? And then why is the thorn good for us? And then finally, what happens when we don't address the throne with the thorn? Or we don't bring the thorn before the throne? These are all the questions we're going to walk through this morning, all submitted to the same idea, that thorns can be turned into blessings and weakness can be turned into strength if Christ is in you. Question number one, what was the thorn? Three people asked me that question this week as I'm talking about this text. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Like, well, Pastor, what was it? Was it a physical ailment? Maybe. Was it a mental struggle? Oh yeah, it could have been that. Was it an individual? Sure. Think about Paul and the physical struggles that he had. It could have been leprosy. It could have been blindness as he was blind for that brief moment when he was converted. It could have stayed with him. And if you want to see how hard of a physical struggle life was for Paul, just read one chapter earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul goes through all of his physical beatings. The brutality that Paul endured is on another level. He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with whips. He was stoned, literally. They thought he was dead. He just kept getting back up again. And don't think that won't make you walk with a limp, a little pain in your back. Maybe it messed up his jaw and he had a speech impediment. He admits, listen, I'm not much to look at. I'm not even much to listen to. But on my weakness, he tells us again and again and again, I am strong because Christ is strong in me. So could it have been a physical ailment? Absolutely. But it just as easily could have been a mental struggle or a spiritual struggle. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, after Paul kind of goes through the list or the litany of abuses he went through, he says, besides all that, I carry this burden, like a deep-seated burden for the church. Why? Because they're being attacked. The gospel is being questioned. Paul was being pulled and ripped from every side, physical and mental. He could have struggled with what you and I might label clinical depression. Very easily could have. He could have struggled with anxiety. He says, listen, I had many sleepless nights. I had many struggling days. Does that not sound like depression or anxiety? So it could have been a physical struggle. It could have been a mental battle that he had with depression or anxiety. Or it could have just purely simple. He calls the person here a messenger from Satan. It could have been a person. It could have been a group of people. Like the Judaizers in Galatia, we've been in that book. They were always attacking Paul. But what gets me is that it was church people. Oh, man. It was church people that hurt Paul the most. Why? Because he loved them wholeheartedly. Don't think that your pastor is unfamiliar with being hurt by church people. Listen, it's part of it. Because you love those people. Not just me, but you love each other too. And when you love somebody, you're vulnerable with somebody. And when you're vulnerable with somebody, they have more of a potential to hurt you. That's why so many people just choose to keep people at arm's distance. I'm not going to let you in because you can hurt me. Paul was hurt by people. Paul was hurt by church people. In the ministry, you will be hurt by people who either claim to be Christ or who are Christians and they're just gone astray. There are mean people out there. People can be downright hateful. It's just true. A physical struggle, we don't know. A mental struggle, maybe. An individual or a group of people, yeah, it likely could have been that. But you know what I love? We don't know. If we're honest, every scholar has to be honest and say, we simply don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We have no real idea. It could have been a number of things. But why was Paul so vague about it? If you read at verse 10, he's like, yeah, it's weaknesses, distresses, insults. I mean, he just gives it very broad categorizations. Why? Because Paul wants his word picture of a thorn in the flesh to not be limited. He wants it to be open. Why? So you can apply it to your own life today. So the real question is not what was the thorn for Paul. The real question is, what's your thorn today? And whatever it is, I want you to bring it with you through the rest of the text. If you're honest with me, you may be like, well, Pastor Todd, it's not so much a thorn. 2020 has been more like a thorn bush, right? I just fell right into the cactus and I'm just covered head to toe from thorns. Well, that's okay too. Name them. Name the person that's the thorn in your flesh right now. Name it. Write it down. Name the situation. Maybe it's called pandemic. Maybe it's called coronavirus. Maybe it's called wearing a mask everywhere I go. Are you kidding me? I'm tired of it. I don't know. Maybe that's mine. I don't know. It's really not. I really have a desire to be obedient. I'm just saying, I don't know what it was for Paul, and I don't know what it is for you, but I want you to identify it. Maybe for you, it's a physical struggle. It really is. A cancer or a reoccurring struggle that you've had that you said, God, deliver me from this, and it keeps saying, my grace is sufficient for you. So what is the thorn? Anything that's painful or anything that's hurtful. But if you've ever had a thorn, you know this next question makes sense. Thorns hurt. Thorns under your flesh don't generally seem like good things. So why in the world would God give you or allow you to have a thorn? Yes, it was a messenger from Satan, but you need to understand today that nothing comes into your life that doesn't first pass the throne of God. God knows everything. Nothing surprises God. The pandemic just didn't show up and he goes, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? Right? He didn't call me up and say, well, Tom, what do you think about it? No, nothing passes into your life that doesn't first pass through the throne of God, which means God brings you to it, whatever it is. And if God's the one that brings you to it, he's the only one that can bring you through it. There may be many purposes for your thorn. Let's hear what Paul's was. He tells you twice in verse 7. How does he begin it here? To keep me from exalting myself. Whew. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And he repeats it just in case you missed it the first time. To keep me from exalting myself. So why the thorn? Humility. God put a mini thorn in my life to humble me. In fact, many times in my life, too many to not embarrassingly share with you, it took the hardship to humble me. It took the hard person to humble me. Sometimes God's thorn is for my benefit through humility. I look at things like if my life were good, would I see my need for God? I don't know. Maybe. I hope so, but maybe not. And if I believe God is sovereign, then I believe God knows me better than I know myself. And so if God chooses in his providence to see a stray attitude in me of self-reliance and arrogance, and he chooses to put a thorn in my life to make that adjustment, so be it, bring the thorn. Because I want what God wants in my life, however he chooses to get it. Is it always gonna be comfortable? No, thorns aren't that comfortable. But is it for your good? Absolutely, and every time. I can't tell you how many times God has showed me this, but especially this week, that's just washed over me. Usually I only turn to God when I realize that I need him. I don't know about you. But it's because I love him and I know that he loves me that I can see the thorn as good for me. So not only do I want to survive the difficulty or the situation, not only do I want to survive the pandemic, not only do I want to survive the thorn, I want to be like Paul. I want to thank God for the thorn that humbles me so that he can use me. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's what I believe he wants for me, and I believe he wants the same thing for you today. For you to see that yes, it hurts to have a thorn, but there is a purpose and a plan for the pain. And what is that? Humility. At the very least, that's what the text says. The thorn is for your humility to keep you, as he says, from exalting yourself. But anybody ever had a physical thorn in their skin? Pain is pain. And so sometimes when you feel pain, you want to do what? You want to remove the pain. So not only would he answer the question, why does God allow the thorn for our humility at the very least, we need to also ask the question, why doesn't God pluck the thing? Why doesn't God remove the thorn? Paul says three times he pleaded with God, and he was maybe the most mature Christian ever to live outside of Christ. He couldn't understand it. Three times he pleaded with God, which means he begged God, God, it hurts. I can't handle it. Would you just remove it? And God in his love said, no, son, I can't. You need the thorn. Does this not remind you of another situation where somebody in the Bible asked three times for some great trial or pain to be removed and God said, no, it has to be this way? What about Jesus, your Savior, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that he was betrayed, starting to bear the weight of humanity's sin on his soul? He was God in the flesh, and yet three times Christ Jesus fell to his knees. He looked up to heaven and he said, Lord, take the thorn. Well, really what he said is, if it's possible, take this cup from me. In other words, the cup of your wrath, but not my will, thy will be done. And three times God had to tell him, no, son, this is the only way. Why? So that God the Son could bear the wrath of God the Father that you and I deserve for sin. So that God the Son could die on the cross and 3 days later rise in victory, so that if you would repent and believe, you could be saved. I believe that was probably the greatest moment of weakness in Christ's life, but the greatest moment of weakness became his greatest moment of victory that you and I get to share in the benefit of. Paul was the same. No, I can't remove it. You need the thorn. You may be the same today. You may beg for God to remove something from your life, and he says, no, you need it. I need you to see that your greatest weakness just might be your greatest strength. When I think about weakness being turned into strength, I think about a man named Nick Vujicic. I'm not sure I said that right, but he's this world evangelist that was born without arms or legs. You ever heard of this guy? I mean, literally, at the shoulder, no arms. At the torso, no legs. He jokes about it. He goes, I just have this little flipper. It's kind of like a foot that didn't fully develop. And he jokes about it. I'm like, oh man, that's so hard. But he makes no excuses. No excuses. Because his weakness is his strength. It's simply a vehicle that God uses to present the gospel to the world. His ministry is called Life Without Limbs. Go look it up. No limbs, no limits, no excuses. I have to look at his life and be like, well, what's my excuse then? Talk about a thorn in your flesh. He lives it every day. A man that shouldn't be able to do anything. God flipped the script and he almost accomplishes everything. He's married. He has children. They didn't think that was possible. Who would want to marry him? Well, there is a beautiful woman and they have beautiful children. You want to see something amazing? Watch Nick Vujicic swim. Look that up on YouTube this week. Stop wasting your time with all this other stuff. Look that video up. Blow your mind. God can turn your greatest weakness into your greatest strength. That's what he does if you will let him. So why doesn't God pluck the thorn? Because when you are weak, you are strong, which can help you understand passages like 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we often confuse. You're familiar with this passage. It's where Paul says that God is faithful. And at that point, you're like, amen. And then he tells you, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll provide you a way of escape or a way out, but not to run from it. Then the verse says, so that you can stand up underneath it, so you can bear the burden. We misunderstand that verse all the time. Usually we hear that verse and we say things like, God will never give me more than I can bear. If what you mean by God will never give me more than I can bear is that you can handle anything this earth throws at you on your own, you're absolutely wrong. That's absurd. Of course God will give you more than you can handle. Because in that moment, you will see your weakness and you'll finally turn to him. That's what it means to be a Christian. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God. But what Paul means there is the way of escape. That's God himself. The way of escape allows you to bear the burden and endure it. So what we should say is that God will not give me anything that I cannot bear with him. That's a better statement. That's what Paul means. Because without him, you're without hope and you're without help. You're going to fail. God will not give you more than you can bear with him. What did the thorn do to Paul? It drove him to his knees. Do you think how many times Paul cried out, "I can't do it anymore"? Of course he did. God would probably respond, "I know you can't. You can't endure this without me, but my grace is sufficient for you. My power is only perfected in your weakness." Meaning, if you have me, you can endure, and your weakness will be turned into a strength. It's amazing. Flipping the script is what God is doing in Paul's life, and he wants to do the same thing for you. God may ask you to keep your struggle. God may constantly give you this struggle, this thorn in your flesh, to keep you on your knees. It may last for a week. You're like, oh. It may last for a month. It may last for a year. Or it may last for a lifetime. Be thankful for it, because it causes you to seek him in prayer and to rely on him for strength. This brings further clarity to not only passages like 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we almost completely miss, but other passages like Matthew 7:7, when Jesus says, "Ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened." He says, for everyone who asks, an answer will be given, everyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And we're like, yeah, that's a passage about God hearing our prayers, about God answering our prayers, and you would be right. But God may answer your prayer in a different way than you think he should. We combine those passages out of Matthew 7 with other passages where Jesus says, you know, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And then we combine them and we misuse them and we say, okay, there's the mountain in my life. God, I ask you to move it. And then we're like, move. We're like the mountain, you just expect it to go away. That might happen, but it might not happen. What could be going on there? Where if you have faith and you ask for the mountain to move, but it doesn't move, what's going on there? Have we ever considered that the mountain that God wants to move is not the mountain in front of you, it's the mountain inside of you? We forget that that's probably much more likely of a situation, that the answer to the prayer might be the change in you, that the change that God wants to make is not in the context that you're living in. The change that he wants to make is in the one saying the prayer, not in the environment that the one saying the prayer lives in. But we're so selfish and self-focused, we think every time it means change the situation around me. I'm telling you, most of the time, God says, no, it's about changing the situation of a lack of faith in you. Paul helped me so much this week. The mountain in me. So instead of always being mad at the thorn, the cancer, the hardship, the pandemic, the stress, the division in our nation, instead of always being mad at God for not changing it or removing it, be thankful for it and boast in your weakness if you boast in anything, because when you are weak, Paul says, in Christ you are strong. When I think of being thankful for struggles, when I think of turning weakness into strength, I think of a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. She lived in World War II. Her family owned a jeweler's shop. Really, it was a watch shop. She was basically a watchmaker under the leadership of her father. And her family were faithful followers of Christ, and they saved many Jews from the concentration camps, which was not a good thing to do. The Nazis didn't like that. And in her book, Hiding Place, she tells about how that had a cost. They were being faithful, they were rescuing Jews from the Nazi oppression and saving them from concentration camps, and they found her family. They found out what they were doing. And she tells stories about her and her sister, her younger sister Betsy, having to live in a Nazi concentration camp. Can you imagine? These stories are horrifying. Many of them are courageous, but all of them are full of faith in Christ. You need to read the book, Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. I'm just gonna tell you one story. She tells the story about these fleas in her barracks. Anybody ever experienced a flea trying to gnaw on their skin or had a dog that constantly scratches? She said the fleas were everywhere. They tormented us all night, keeping us up all night long. She thought they were trying to consume her body. And she says it was literally, what Paul would say is a thorn in her flesh. It was hard for her to deal with. And one morning, after battling the fleas all night long, she was lamenting the fleas to her sister Betsy, and Betsy was so faithful. She took Corey back to the study in God's word that they looked at that morning. By the way, God's word's powerful. If you're not actively consuming God's word in your life, you're like fighting with both arms behind your back. You're just not going to do it. So Betsy takes Corey back to the study of that morning. It was in 2 Thessalonians, where God says, give thanks in all circumstances. Corey was offended by that. She's like, no, I refuse to give thanks for the flea that torments me. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Except for him, it wasn't a flea, it was a thorn. So a few days pass, and the fleas didn't get any better. One afternoon, Corey had a different work detail than her sister Betsy. She comes back to the barracks, and Betsy has this smile on her face. I mean, she's glowing. Corey's like, what happened today? She goes, I gotta tell you this story. We had a conversation about missing a quota for the socks that we were supposed to make for the day. And so the supervisor came in to address it. And that wasn't a good sign for someone living in a concentration camp. It usually didn't end well. And the supervisor brought with them soldiers and guards. And that's not a good thing if you're living in a concentration camp. But the supervisor came right to the edge of the barracks, wouldn't come in. The guards came right to the edge of Corey and Betsy's barracks, but they wouldn't go in. And Betsy has this victorious smile on her face, and she looks at Corey. Betsy says, Corey, do you know why the supervisor, do you know why the guards didn't come into our barracks? She said, the fleas. We were covered in fleas. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. You don't know the purpose for the flea. And you don't know the purpose for the thorn. God may not heal your illness. He may not change your circumstance. The pandemic may tarry. Your anxiety might be a lifelong struggle, but his grace is sufficient. And when you're weak, you are strong in the Lord. Which brings me to the next why question, and then we'll end with the what question. Pastor, why is the thorn good for me? Why is the thorn good for us? Not only will it make us more available to God when we realize that in our weakness we actually have strength in him, but once you see your weaknesses and your difficulties as strengths to be used for his glory, here's how you're gonna feel about it. Content. Bitterness and anger cannot exist with contentment. Hatefulness and hostility cannot exist with contentment. That's exactly what Paul says in verse 10. Therefore, I am well content with my weaknesses, with the insults that are thrown at me, with the distresses that surround me, with the persecutions that befall me, with the difficulties. Because for Christ's sake, when I am weak, I am strong. So I have some questions for you, church, that God had for me. How are you handling the insults if they're being thrown at you? How are you handling the difficult situations or the difficult people around you? How are you handling the stress and the distress from the pandemic or the national division? If you're not handling it very well, I pray that you would turn to Christ and realize, yes, in those moments you may feel weak, but when you're weak, you're actually strong. And that in him you would find true contentment, because with contentment, you can endure. Without contentment, you're gonna wanna give up, knowing that God has a plan for your particular thorn. Okay, we've answered some questions today. What was the thorn? Anything that hurts you or is painful that distracts you. We've answered the question, why does God allow the thorn? For your humility, to keep us from exalting ourselves. Why doesn't God remove the thorn? Because when we are weak, we are strong in the fact that we turn to him. And we answered, why is the thorn good for us? Because when we see our weaknesses properly, we can have contentment in them, the worst of life's circumstances, and we can endure. So it leaves us but one more question. And I thought of this at the end of my preparation this week, and it's a good one. What happens when we don't bring the thorn before the throne? What happens when we don't allow God to turn our weaknesses into strengths? Anybody left a thorn under their skin for a prolonged period of time? If you don't put some antibiotic cream on that, if you don't put some salve on it, as my grandma called it, what happens? It gets infected. Look at the response of our nation to division. Is it not infection of bitterness and hate and anger? Is that of God? Look at the response of our nation to a pandemic that honestly hasn't been near as bad as it could have been, and probably not as bad as what could be coming. Not healthy. It's an infection. We've been isolated by the coronavirus. And if you're isolated by the coronavirus, separated from not only your family, but also your friends, and you don't turn to God to have relationship, your infection is gonna look like loneliness. Your infection is going to look like detachment and other unhealthy things like anger that never existed before. You're going to start believing infected, unhealthy things that you're forgotten and you're unloved. You're not. That's Satan playing tricks on you because you're not turning to God for help. What about when the thorn of anxiety embeds itself in your weary soul and you don't go to God for help? You don't see the warning signs around you and you don't see a God who cares for you, and so therefore you don't turn to him. What's the infection gonna look like in your life? I've seen it a lot. It's gonna look like debilitating fear and further isolation. What about when someone, a particular person, lets you down or they hurt you and they disappoint you? And this disappointment embeds itself in you because of them. And then you don't turn to God for help. You don't forgive the person for the hurt that they caused you. You don't seek restoration. What's the infection gonna look like? It's gonna look like bitterness. Bitterness is ugly on a Christian. Bitterness will cause you to color your world a little different. Instead of seeing the brightness of victory in Christ, you're gonna look at the world through the lens of darkness and despair. It'll blind you to the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, and it'll blind you to the beauty that surrounds you. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I've lived in it, and it's a place you don't wanna be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, please hear me today. Darkness and despair, the infection of bitterness and anger, that's not where Christ wants you to be. That's not living in the promise of the abundant life that he says you will have in him. The pain and the agony was never meant to break you. The pain and the agony is only meant to turn you to him. Satan may see a small victory. He may have joy in your temporary infection, but I said temporary because Christ has already won the victory. He defeated death, and heaven is your home, though you may not be able to see it right now. So I plead with you. If the thorn that is in you has remained with you, though you've prayed for God to remove it, but you haven't gone to him with it, and you're starting to turn septic, the infection's starting to hurt you, please let Jesus, your time with him and in his word, be your antibiotic. And I'm not trying to be cute this morning. Jesus can be that salve that heals and gives encouragement to your weary soul. But you gotta go to him with the thorn if he's gonna do something with it. You cannot handle it on your own. So instead of letting the struggle drive you crazy, let the struggle drive you to your knees. I don't know what your thorn is, but let it drive you to your knees. And when you stand back up and through the power of God, you will, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna be stronger for it and more capable of sharing the love of Christ with others.